So I'm going to start with a confession. I get lost every time I come to Richmond. Thank God I have that little navigator in my car that if it could talk, it would say, hey, you went the wrong way. Left. I said left. I don't know what it is about Richmond, but I don't understand the grid. And I've studied the map, and I still get it wrong. But thankfully, I have a straight way to get here. And thankfully, I have that navigator that tells me how to get home. How to get home. Lent is about getting home, isn't it? Lent is about renewing our sense of journey and adventure. Lent is the journey towards our truth and our reality, which is home. Home with a capital H. Heaven. Returning to where we began. There's a wonderful, as I mentioned last week, be prepared, I major in philosophy, so there's a wonderful philosopher, Plato, who talked about the fact that he believed, and his thoughts have continued through the years, through many theologians, that we began with an awareness of God, that our spirit began with God. We came into the womb, we spent time on earth, and we returned to God. And as Henry Nouwen says, we spend our entire life yearning to be back with God. We can't remember what it was. That memory is gone, but the yearning has not gone away. And sometimes we just feel homesick. We feel homesick for God. And so the journey of Lent is to get closer and closer to God, closer to that journey, that awareness. The temptations of Christ are a part of our journey. What tempts you? What tempts you? We are tempted all the time. My mother always told me, never go into a grocery store when you're hungry, right? That's when you buy the chocolate. That's when you buy the salty chips and the cheesy stuff to stick it in. Many things tempt us. I saw something the other day, a video, and it was mocking somebody. And it was inviting us to laugh as we watched this video. And I realized as I was watching it that it wasn't nice. And yet I was tempted to laugh at somebody's troubles. We are tempted all the time out of our way home, our spiritual awareness. The temptations of Christ are not so much about the daily material part of our lives. The temptations of Christ are about to get us to think heavenly instead of worldly. To think heavenly, our true home, rather than worldly. You're hungry? Turn these rocks into stone, or these stones into bread. No. He's decided he's going to fast and he's going to stay with that. Test God. No, why would I test God? Isn't that abusive of your relationship with God to say, okay, God, I'm going to test to make sure that you're real? Jesus says no. And what was the third one? The power. Grab this power. I can give you all the power of the world. And Jesus says no. Because we all know, and Jesus has taught us through his teaching, that we're here for a while and we return. And we need to focus on our truth, our authentic beings, which is spirit, being spirit. So the journey through Lent is to take us through those little parts of our lives and make us affirm who we are. A couple of months ago, I made a decision about my life. I decided that I've been languishing. Do you ever use that word, languishing? My husband died about 4.5 years ago, and he was my soulmate. And we had so many adventures together. And I have languished since he has gone. And I decided I had to jump back into life. And my youngest son said, did you have to jump in with this choice? And what I decided is that I will be in Palestine in the Old City during Holy Week. I'll be studying with the group Sabil. It's a peace group that works around the world, but it's an activist group that helps get to listen, it listens, to the stories of all people involved in a conflict, and then ask you to tell other people, to get beyond the news, to get beyond the media, and to listen well, and to respond as people of faith. So Holy Week, I will be in the Old City. I'm not languishing anymore. So for me, this journey of Lent is very important to be back into life, to be back into who I am as a person of God, as a child of God, to sing again, to get out of bed, to be engaged again. Do you ever have moments when you just need to take a deep breath? You need to talk to God. You need to recite Psalm 139 over and over and over again. God, you know me. You know when I stand up. You know when I sit down. Not a thought is in my brain that you don't know. As I was in the womb, you were there. You watched over me. The Psalms are important for us because Psalms were written 2,000 plus years ago by people like us, people who were yearning for God, yearning for a relationship that was deeper and more aware, and also people like us who feel this homesickness and we don't know quite what it's for. So when you read the Psalms or when you're having a bad day or you're languishing, pull out the Psalms. And don't just read them, but read them out loud. Read them with all the passion in which they were written. Read them with the yearning. Read them with the begging sometimes in the Psalms, begging for God's attention. Being aware as you read the Psalms that God is listening. And not only is God listening, God is understanding. God knows who you are. God understands you better than you understand yourself. One of the sad things that we've done over the centuries with Christianity is we focused on the word sin over and over and over again. You must be good, you must be good, you must follow the Ten Commandments, you must not do this, you must not do that. Constant. And it takes away our courage. It takes away our bravery because we need to have a sense of adventure as children of God going home, the journey home. We lose awareness as we're looking down and fearful of making a mistake. We're losing our awareness of awesome God. That's why reading the Psalms is so important. Reading the Psalms is important because it reminds us of who we are as spiritual beings. Remember last week I quoted, and you'll hear me quote it many times, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And we can't lose that awareness that we are spirit. Let me talk about sin for a minute, or even temptation. I think of them more as a distraction. Think of a light, this beautiful light, a big light, and it's God. It's a gorgeous light, and we are part of that light. We are feeling the energy of that light. We are feeling home. And then something over there distracts us, and we start walking this way, and we're walking this way, and we're farther away, and we know the light's still there, but we're still moving away. But the light is who we are. The light is our truth. But we're still distracted by something over there. And eventually, we forget the light. Sin is like moving away from that light, our truth. Temptations are moving away from our truth. So we are on this journey, and sometimes the journey is like me trying to get through Richmond without a map. Sometimes the journey is straightforward. Sometimes the journey has roadblocks or grief. Sometimes the journey has people along the way to help you. Sometimes the journey is just sitting quietly on the side of the road and saying, help, help. But part of the journey is knowing where we came from and where we are returning. The message of the Christ is wake up. Wake up and pay attention to your truth. You know the whole woke thing? It actually means wake up. Wake up to your truth. Wake up that you are kindness. Wake up that your truth is loving one another. Wake up to an awareness that God is always there. Wake up to the love that you are and the love that you receive. And have courage and be brave. We are heading towards the cross. And at the cross, we know that love, someone tried to diminish love, and love survived. Love survived. We are love. I have to tell you about my sister Brenda. I talked to her yesterday. My sister Brenda is 2 years older than me, and I might have mentioned her before. She's quite bossy. She says she's not bossy, but she is. I swear, she's coming to visit me in July for a whole month. I traveled with Brenda once. Never again. She is wonderful. My sister is amazing. As long as she's in Nova Scotia and I'm in Vancouver. She is supportive. She is silly. She is organized. She is bossy. She is silly, she is loving, she is bossy. Let's get back to bossy again. And she knows it. We traveled once together, shared a hotel room, never again, and found out how different we are as sisters. That our journeys are towards home. We both understood that. We both went into every church that was open and sat and prayed and talked. But our journeys, our personalities, made our journeys just a little bit different. And what happened at the end of the 3 weeks that we traveled together was we realized that we are so unique. Every one of us on this earth are so unique by the choices that we made, the culture, how we interpret life, how we choose life. And yet, no matter how different we are, we are loved. We are loved. I write novels. And when you write a novel, you have to create a character. And when you create a character, you have to, it's either the good guy or the bad guy. Or it's somebody very unique. And that sometimes when you're writing a novel, you realize that the story's getting a little dull, so you have to bring in a character. And the character is purple, bright, passionate, loving, or the character can be just that person that just fumbles and trips all over themselves. But when you write novels, you begin to realize we are all characters, and we are lovely. We're lovely, and God loves every one of us. And I'm going to end with this. Somebody wrote many, many years ago, I am a child of God, and I am loved, and God doesn't make junk. We are awesome, aren't we? Say that often, okay? We are awesome. We have a Lenten litany that we're going to follow, and I hope that it gets you in the mood for the rest of your journey. Okay? Let us say this together. We believe that our lives are held together within the circling love of God, who knows our names and recognizes our deepest needs. We believe that Christ is the divine child of the living God, and that his grace is like living waters that can be never be exhausted. We believe in the birthing, renewing, enabling Spirit of God, who yearns over our welfare as a mother yearns for her child. We believe that God is in the arid desert as well as in the green pastures, and that hard times and disciplines can become loving gifts. We believe that our journey has a purpose and a destination, and that our path leads to a glory we cannot yet imagine. We believe that in the church we are fellow disciples on the road, and that we are called to love one another as God loves us. This is our faith, and we are humbled to profess in Jesus the Christ. Amen. And let us sing.